My friends, if you're here today, if you do not know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's not too late. Not till you draw your last breath for you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. God loves you, but our sin separated us from God, and God is holy and just and has to punish that sin. That's why He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. But you can only receive the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ by faith. And Jesus Christ doesn't just give us eternal life, He gives us Himself, because He is eternal life. He gives us Himself. He is the gift of God. Our salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, is only through Jesus Christ, and we only receive Him by faith. I'd like to encourage us tonight, the joy of hope, and let's go to Romans 15. We'll turn that in your New Testaments. Romans chapter 15, and then verse 13, Romans chapter 15, and then verse 13, the joy of hope. And of course, Christians, we do have hope. And because we have hope, we can have joy. And so let's go to Romans 15, verse 13. And the Word of God tells us, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house even this morning, this house, your house of prayer. And Father, we thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for your precious eternal word, that we have it, Lord. And Lord, is our only link between us and you in your precious word. None of us has seen Jesus, you know, but we read about him and we believe him by faith. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that indwells believers, that convicts and reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, Lord, and that we have the Holy Spirit to draw us to thyself, Lord. And so we thank you that you have not left us comfortless, that you give us your Holy Spirit, Lord. And so thank you, Father, for this time that we can assemble. And Father, we confess we are a needy people, Lord, and we are a sinful people. But we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that washes our sin white as snow. Now, bless now this time, the preaching of thy word. Holy Spirit of God, move these lips of clay, Father, that I would say from heaven on high, help me to just get out of the way, Lord, that you would be glorified and magnified in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. When it comes to the joy of hope, one of the most wonderful, powerful, and I guess you can say unique things that Christians have that no others have is hope. Hope, of course, is knowing something will happen 100%. You know, we know it. It hasn't happened yet, but we know it. We are assured of it. And when we think of the blessings of being a Christian, all the blessings we have as a child of God, as a Christian, combined together into, think of a giant anchor of hope that secures us, fastens us steadfast, no matter how dark and overwhelming the storms of life may get. You think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as believers, gives us hope of eternal life, that we have everlasting life and that we will be reunited with our loved ones who are likewise believers. Once we die and those that have gone before us, we will see them again. Our forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ gives us hope that we will go to heaven after we die. Our relationship with God gives us hope that God will never leave us nor forsake us in the worst times of our life. The promise of God gives us hope that the last will be first, you know, and sometimes we feel last and we very well might be last, but it's okay if I lose all my possessions in a fire, in a flood, in a tornado. It's okay because the Bible tells me I have a mansion waiting for me. And it's okay if I, if I lose, whether voluntary or I just, you know, whether it's just taken from me, if I get scammed out of my life savings or whether I willingly just give it for the cause of Christ. It's okay if I have nothing now because the Bible tells me the last shall be first. God will reward us. This is our hope. The hope for our guaranteed future gives us deep and abiding joy in the present. And true hope is exclusive to a Christian. You know, don't want to burst anyone's bubble. Actually, I do. But we need to hear it. And may God burst our bubble. But when it comes to true hope and true joy. Only Christians have that. I understand it's easy for us to be happy in the world, even though it's just superficial. I mean, you know, just win the Powerball. And I'm happy. Life is good. I mean, even getting a raise, I feel like, hey, I feel on cloud nine. And so I get that. We are emotional beings, and it's easy for us to just feel happy. But don't be deceived by fake happiness, because too many times those are just distractions that keep us from the truth of what really matters. And only true believers, Christians, born-again believers, have true hope. If you're a Christian, you have hope. If you're not a Christian, you have no hope. Perhaps you've been wronged. Perhaps you've been misunderstood. Perhaps you've been hurt. My friend, there is hope in God. A hope unlike any other hope, a supernatural hope, a hope that is all you need, a hope that the world cannot provide. Are you therefore a Christian? What is a Christian? Well, if you want to think about it with me, not necessarily someone who celebrates Christmas. Maybe many do it simply out of tradition, a time of family and friends and gift giving, which is all fine and good. But not everyone that celebrates Christmas necessarily believes in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I grew up many years celebrating Christmas. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Lord, but I did not believe He was my Lord. Big difference. You see where the rubber meets the road. I believe factually up here that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the Lord. If you gave me a multiple choice quiz, Jesus Christ is A, Lord and Savior, you know, B, a fraud, you know, C, a carpenter. I mean, I would have chose A. He's the Lord and Savior. I mean, I knew the answer. I knew what the answer should have been. I knew it up here. But how does the saying go? Is it 12 inches between your head and your heart? That's the distance between heaven and hell. And I knew Jesus Christ factually was the Savior, but He wasn't my Savior, meaning I did not trust, depend in Him to save me from my sins. And you can trust someone that's a real person. I always use the example of maybe you have a friendly neighbor, you know, and you can trust your neighbor is a real person. He exists. But don't trust in him to take you to heaven when you die, okay? He's a fellow sinner. And so we can trust that Jesus is real. He's not a myth, not like Santa Claus, not like the tooth bunny. Is it tooth bunny? Tooth fairy. Or Easter fairy, right? Okay, he's real. But you get to depend in him for your soul's salvation. And so that's huge. And so what is a Christian? Not necessarily someone who just arbitrarily celebrates Christmas. What is a Christian? Not necessarily someone who is nice. I mean, it's good to be nice. And there are many nice people out there, friendly, loving. They have excellent high morals, okay? And so, you know, that's good. May even live the Ten Commandments. But if they have never seen themselves as a condemned sinner, lost and heading to a devil's hell, if they've never truly seen themselves as lost, you cannot truly be saved. What is a Christian? Not necessarily someone who has been baptized. Lord willing, we'll have a baptism in a little bit here. That's exciting. But then there are many people, probably millions, that have been baptized, some as babies, some as teenagers, some as adults. But unless they are only trusting in Jesus Christ alone, not in their baptism, not in church membership, not in communion, not confirmation, not doing anything except trusting in the person of Jesus Christ, they are not saved. It's an exclusive faith only in Jesus. Baptism doesn't wash away any sin, original or otherwise. Baptism only shows that someone is already saved, they are already a believer in the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hence the baptism by immersion in the Bible. You go down, you don't stay down. You don't want to have the preachers, you know, drowning anyone. But they go down and what, they come up. And again, it's to show that Jesus, when he died, he didn't stay dead. He rose. That's our risen Savior. And so we don't just worship a martyr, Jesus Christ. We worship a living Savior, the one and only Jesus Christ. He's alive forevermore. It shows outwardly what happens when someone on the inside is saved. Of course, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creature in Christ. The old you is dead. You're alive now with Jesus Christ. A Christian is someone who has realized that they were condemned for hell, because of their own sin, realize that there's no way out except to believe and trust in Jesus Christ to save them. They believe Jesus died for their sins, that He rose from the dead to conquer death and hell and gives eternal life and forgiveness of their sins to all that put their faith exclusively in Him. The day you became a Christian was the first day of the rest of your life, your new life. Hallelujah, that's exciting. Your forever life. Oh, that's wonderful, your forever life. The day that you became a Christian was when you trusted Christ and was born again by the Spirit of God as a child of God, adopted into His family. A Christian can come from anywhere, can be anyone, even someone with the worst of backgrounds. Paul, one of my heroes, he was a mass murderer. Lazarus, other Lazarus, was a beggar and a failure by society's standards. Rahab, she was a prostitute. Ruth was an outsider. Esther was an orphan. The woman at the well had a lifetime of failed relationships. Matthew was a hated IRS agent, no, tax collector. Okay, but why? Why did all this happen? Well, because the love of God reaches everyone and anyone. Our sin is wicked, but God's grace is greater than our sin. A Christian can come from anywhere, can be anyone, even someone with, on the other side, a commendable social status. Luke, Dr. Luke, he was a physician. Job, Old Testament Job, he was a wealthy rancher, kind of a businessman. Joseph of Arimathea in the New Testament, don't read much about him, but what little we have about him, he tells us that he was a rich, he was kind of loaded. he donated, he gave his tomb for Jesus to be buried in. He was a rich and prominent member of the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish Supreme Council that governed all affairs of Jewish life. And so he was a kind of a secret disciple of Jesus until when Jesus finally died, then he came forward. And that he was okay. He was hey, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And so he was very established, but he put it all in line for Jesus Christ. Cornelius, in the book of Acts, he is a respected officer in the Roman army. He was a centurion of the Italian squad, Italian band. But all these established individuals, so it doesn't matter. You have all kinds of people, all walks of life, but they can all get saved. Why? Because all have sinned and all need to get saved because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And then the wages, the payment, the penalty for our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we receive, of course, God's gift only by faith, by believing. If you're a Christian, you have hope. If you're not a Christian, you have no hope. Now, what exactly is hope? Is it faith? Is it the same as faith, kind of? Not really. Well, hope is related to faith, but it is not faith. We'll come back here, but just real quick, let's go to 1 Corinthians, just one book over, and so don't have to turn much, a few page flips. We'll go to 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 13, talked about charity, but then two others as well, these distinct qualities. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, and just for illustration's sake, verse 13 here, 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And so the Bible tells us, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. So very obviously, very distinct. So we know they're not the same. I mean, they're distinct. But the greatest of these is charity. All distinct qualities. And by the way, why is charity listed as the greatest? It's because it all starts with charity. Charity means God's sacrificial love. Charity means love in action, if you will. Love in its highest form. The Bible calls it charity. And how do we use the word charity today? Typically, we would use it, you know, we don't really use it, oh, I charity you. Okay, that, you know, we should just say love, okay? But typically, we would say charity like a charitable organization, right? Some food bank or something that they give to those that need, that cannot repay, right? We would think that's of charity. And that is exactly God's love to you and I. Because I'm a charity case. We're all a charity case. God gave to those who are in need, that's you and I, and we cannot give back. Right? If you think of a charity, it's always one way. It's not a two-way thing. They're not paying. They just get it. It's free. You know, it's done out of love. You just got to show up, and then you get it. And then hopefully you're thankful, but then you get it free of charge. I mean, that's the idea of a charity. It's not a business. You expect a charity to run a loss. You know, that's why you get donations. And charity is supported by others' love and giving, right? So it's all one way. And that's God's love to us. And so the idea is charity. We are the charity case. And that's how we get John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's God so charity us. You know, and so he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That whosoever what? Believeth. That's, so it starts with charity. And then with charity, we receive it how? By faith. That's the other one here. Faith, hope, charity. Charity is the greatest. Faith is how we receive it. Whosoever believeth in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, given by charity, by God's love. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is our hope. So it starts with charity, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, that's the faith in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the hope. And so when you kind of see how it all kind of falls together, hope is what we have because of faith, right? Make sense? We believe what God tells us, and therefore we have the hope. And so we go back to Romans 15. Go back with me. This is our hope. So go back to Romans 15 with me. Romans 15, verse 13. And so the joy of hope. And so Romans 15, verse 13. Look at what the Word of God says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Boy, that's awesome. I need this. Okay, ever feel down? Yeah, we all feel down. Ever get worried or like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I'm all stressed out. You know, I want that peace that passes understanding. God, please give it to me. But how does he do it? In what? Believing. Now, the God of hope. So this is the hope that we know so, that God will fill us with all joy and peace. So open wide and receive it. But how do we receive it? Just like our salvation, we receive it by faith. That's why it says in believing. You can go back to that formula, charity, not formula, but that pattern. It starts with charity. You have faith, therefore you get hope, right? If you have the faith, then the hope is the result of that. So the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And so, my friends, do you believe it? Do you believe this verse? That God can fill you with all joy and peace? Do you believe it? The only way you can get the joy and peace is you have to believe it. If you believe it, and you choose to believe it, you get the hope. Now, don't sell yourself short. I mean, we give God all the glory, but the idea is take it at face value. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is simply believing what God has said. You know, it's not an emotional thing, although it gives us joy as a result of that. But it's not, I want to feel like believing. No, I mean, if someone tells you, hey, I got a, you know, I caught a, I don't know, or I shot a 30-point buck. 30 points, you're like, yeah, right. you know, but you have the, when someone tells you something, when you present it with some statement, you choose to dismiss it or believe it. I mean, I'm just saying that we do that for anything. Now, oftentimes we don't think twice. You know, you see a commercial or something, or hey, 2 for 1, you just assume it's true. But I'm just saying, we're presented with whatever statement, we all do this throughout the whole day. True, 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 true. I'm not sure about that one. I'm just saying. And so we choose. And so when it comes to what God has said, choose to believe it. Very simple. And so now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Do you believe it? In believing. When we do, it clicks, it connects, that ye may abound in hope. Wow. And so again, by the way, the Christian believers here at Rome, they were in the belly of the beast because they were right in Caesar's seat, you know, and they were going through a horrible persecution. But they can be abounding in hope. And so they know it's going to be okay through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's a supernatural. This joy, this peace, it's supernatural. It's not man-manufactured. It's God-given. The only way we receive it, just like our salvation, is what? Faith. By believing. I mean, it's so simple that we can miss it. The joy of hope. And so let's go to 1 Peter. This is one of my favorite chapters. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And so kind of the same thing here. I mean, Paul was trying to encourage the Roman Christians. Here we have Peter trying to encourage the, you know, the believing, you know, mostly Jews here that were scattered. Okay, God's people that were scattered. But if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and so again, Peter is excited. You know, he wants to praise the Lord, but he also really wants to encourage his readers. But by extension, you and I, all of us, he wants to encourage all of us to praise the Lord for the hope that we have. And remember, Peter, he testifies to them in 1 and 2 Peter. Peter has seen Jesus as God. He got his mind blown, okay? He saw Jesus as God on the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't just journey with Jesus like the other disciples. Peter, James, and John were privileged to see Jesus as God when he shone at the light of the divine light up on the mountain. They got to see what no one else did. And Jesus said, don't tell anyone till after I've been risen, which they are doing now. But who is writing to his audience here? They have not seen Jesus. They've only heard about Jesus, just like us. Just like us. So these are just like we are. And so Peter's really, he knows it so bad. He wants them to know it. Okay, so blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Again, it starts with charity. It's because of God's mercy. He didn't have to. He chose to. Hath begotten us again. That's born, you know, we've been born again. Unto a lively hope that is a living and eternal, never to be extinguished hope that we have in Jesus by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is an awesome thing. You know, I appreciate, we just, you know, we just had the 4th of July, you know, and that, I appreciate that. And a little bit later, we'll have Memorial Day, you know, and I'm thankful for those that laid down their life, you know, and we honor them with memorials. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not a martyr. He died, but he rose, so he's living. It's not a memorial. It is a active faith. It is a living hope. Because the Lord Jesus is alive today. We serve a living Savior. He's in glory. And we will meet him one day when we breathe our last breath. And then, well, either collectively at the rapture or individually when we die. And then, of course, he promised that he'll be coming again. And so the tomb is empty. The lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, this is awesome. Jesus' resurrection proves who he says he is. He is the Son of God, God in human form. He is the Son of Man, the one man that is anointed of God. The Christ means anointed to reign and rule over all creation. If we believe this, verse 3, if we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord, we have verse 4, which is our hope. And so verse 4 tells us what we get, okay? Now it gets better because verse 5 tells us what we become, okay? But hang on, but verse 4 is also good. Verse 4 tells us what we get. To an inheritance, if you're a child of God, you get dad's inheritance, your father's inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't it amazing? This is our hope. God is promising this to all his children, all Christians, all believers have this hope. And only Christians have this hope. The unbeliever does not have this hope. Unbelievers have no hope. And so why do I work so hard sometimes for things that don't last? It's because I get distracted. I get caught up in myself. May I focus on doing things that have eternal consequence? Yes, we do tend to things that we need to. I get that. But may my focus always be on things eternal. Because what I have right now, what we see is, you know, the things that we see are temporal. But the things we don't see, these are eternal. And so these are reserved for us in heaven. I know in my own flesh, in my own pride, by God's grace, when I get to heaven, when God gives me my inheritance that's incorruptible, that mansion, that street of gold, I mean, there you just walk on gold. It's just an afterthought. It's just deco. It's just ambiance. Okay, here, gold is what makes the world go around. You know, I mean, you know, and so I know I'll be kicking myself like, why was I so distracted for carnal mammon? Oh, what was I doing? I could have done so much more for the Lord, right? And so this is coming our way anyway. This is our hope. Not just what we get, but verse 5 is who we become. Look at verse 5. Who, this is the believers, are kept by the power of God. Once saved, always saved. Jesus keeps us saved. That's the joy of that. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. This is how we got saved. Unto salvation. Look at this. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Now this is awesome because what we will become, of course, you and I, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're saved right now. We are forgiven right now. We have everlasting life right now. But the rest of the blessings of salvation haven't happened yet, okay? The rest of our salvation has yet to be revealed. And so what do you mean? Well, for starters, even though we're saved now, we can still hurt now, right? Maybe some of us more than others, but we can still hurt. We still have pains. We can still get sick. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. We'll come back here, but let's go to Romans 8. It's a joy to be saved now, but the best is yet to come. I mean, that is amazing. So Romans 8, let's go to verse 22. Romans 8, let's go to verse 22. And how true it is. What a truth statement. Romans 8, 22. For we know, we all know this, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So it doesn't take a genius to know that if you look around, this world is marred and cursed with tragedy, with pain, with suffering. We don't have to look far for it. Some of us are suffering. I mean, so this is kind of a no-brainer. Loved ones get sick and pass on. I mean, it's hard. The whole world, the whole planet, there's suffering everywhere. It's universal. If you ever see those newscasts, and it doesn't matter which nationality, which country it is, when they show soldiers or victims of attacks or bombs or missile strikes or whatever, doesn't matter where the mom is from, she's crying the same. Still crying the same. And so you have that universal tragedy and pain and suffering. That's everywhere. Christians or not Christians all go through it. But for Christians and only Christians, we have hope. That is a mind-blowing truth. And not only they, everyone else, but ourselves also. Yeah, sure. I mean, we're part of this world. The world suffers. We suffer too. Christians, we have pains. We have heartbreak. But Christians here, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. But unlike the world, believers have a down payment from God that the best is yet to come. We have an earnest, the first fruit. Again, the first fruits here is used in a illustration of Old Testament Israel when they would reap the fruits during the harvest. They would give the first fruits to God in faith, indicating that the rest of the harvest is going to follow. You know, you get your first batch of crops. You know, the rest of the 90% is coming, and so you give it back to God. So the first fruit is the beginning of the harvest to prove that there's more coming. The Holy Spirit, He indwells us. He is, in this sense, our earnest, our first fruit, that more is coming. What more? Even we ourselves, as believers, groan within ourselves. Well, yeah, I mean, it hurts. You know, we're like, oh, we get frustrated, we're in pain. Waiting for what? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Our souls are already saved when we trust in Jesus Christ. Our spirit is already born again, but our body is still cursed and marred, and so that's why we hurt, that's why we suffer, that's why we have pain. But we are waiting for that redemption where we will get a new body that is a celestial body, an angelic body, an incorruptible body, an immortal body. And this is all, we know this because Jesus rose from the dead. That is awesome. And so we're waiting for this. Now, sadly, the unsaved, the unbelievers don't have this. All they have is suffer now and then suffer more later in hell. I mean, that's horrible. For believers, yeah, we suffer now. But because we're saved, glory awaits us. And so at verse 24, for we are saved by hope. Again, these are already, they're already saved as believers eternally. This is talking about the rest of it. For we are saved by hope, the no-so. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And so, by the way, isn't it wonderful that when you look around, this is not it. this is not it. Okay, we see death and sickness and suffering. This is not it. Okay, it gets better. But if we hope, and our hope only becomes real and joyous to us when we believe. So faith results in hope. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience, that's perseverance, wait for it. What a blessing. And so let's go back to 1 Peter. We kind of wrap it up here. Let's go back to 1 Peter. See how much time I have. I might have a couple more verses I can sneak in. So let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. So again, Peter is all excited. And so he knows this is coming. He and Paul are trying to expound God's given truth to the believers. And so let's go to verse 5 we talked about, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hang in there, the best is yet to come, the hope that only believers have. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. In fact, they have the joy of hope, though now for a season. Now seasons can be long, but seasons also have an end. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, multi-layer hardships. I mean, that's hard, but it's the joy of hope that keeps us going in the power of the Holy Ghost. That the trial of your faith, remember, you have true faith, it gives us hope, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Again, in the kingdom of God, gold is just, you know, we just walk on it. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God wants to refine our faith so that we glorify Him. God wants to refine our faith so we can praise Him more. Verse 8, whom having not seen, the ones that Peter is writing to, that includes you and I, we haven't seen God. We haven't seen the Lord Jesus, not the way that Peter has. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet what? Believing. You have to believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that God is the sovereign God, that He is the I Am. So we believe that He is the I Am, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him by faith. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's our hope. That's our hope, but we have to believe it. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Again, you're saved now, but this is the rest of the salvation package. I mean, it is a wonderful thing. You know, it's we're going through this journey of life. There's bumps. You know, God is with us every step of the way, but this journey will end at the very presence of God. It is amazing to have the Holy Spirit indwell us. He is the first fruits of our salvation, to show that there's more to come. It is a wonderful hope that keeps us going. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Back a few books. We'll find Colossians chapter 1. God says it here this way. Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 26. Colossians chapter 1. And then verse 26. It's going to be a grand reveal, okay? This reveal that's coming, okay? The redemption of our body. You know, this is a preview to how this will play out. Colossians 1, verse 26, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations. No one knew it till God's revealing it right now in real time. But now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, even the non-Jewish, it doesn't matter, which is Christ in you, the Spirit of Christ in us, the hope of glory, the noso of glory. This is how the last shall be first. It's okay if, you know, I'm spat on, I'm rejected, people scoff at my belief in Jesus Christ. It's okay if we are ridiculed. It's okay if we are the minority. It's okay if you live for the Lord and sometimes we feel like we've got nothing to show for. You know, you can be praying for people to get saved, no one gets saved. You can pass out 1,000 tracts and no one shows up to church. I mean, that's on the Lord. It's up to the Lord. If we live for Him, that's all that God wants from us. Live for Him who died for us, because the hope is, my no-so is, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Let's go back to Romans 15. We'll close there. Romans 15 and in verse 13. May we believe this by faith. God wrote it. Believe it. Choose to believe it. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. We've got to be believing. Then it triggers this. And so, Lord, I want this joy. I want this peace. It only comes by believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. My friends, are you a Christian? It only comes by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, but also your Lord. That means He is your God, He is your King, He is your authority, not you yourself. We have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. In other words, we are dead to self. Yeah, I still have my wants. I still have my flesh that doesn't, you know, die till it dies. But it's a switching of allegiance from myself to God, from my sin. I repent. Not repent. I can't emphasize enough. Not repent to rehab. You repent to God. Turn from your sin, your rejection of God, your sin, our wickedness to God. Lord, I need you. Where before I knew about the Lord, now I want to know the Lord. Lord, here I am. The Lord knows them all that calls upon Him in faith. If you're here today, my friends, if you are a Christian, you have all the hope there ever is and that you ever need. If you are not a Christian, my friend, you have no hope, but there is hope in God and only hope in God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a awesome truth, Lord, to be reminded that You are the God of hope. You are the God of all comfort. And Father, we need You, Lord. And besides You, it's all just vanity. It's failure. And Lord, we confess we are needy people. We are sinful people. But Father, we need You. And we can only receive You through Jesus Christ by faith. You said it in Your word. Let us believe it. And Lord, help us, Lord, to have the joy of hope. To know that what we will have, we have it now, but it's reserved for us, but we will receive it at some point. We know that. But also what we will become. And we groan, Lord. It hurts. It hurts. Life hurts. But Father, we have the hope to wit the redemption of the body. And so, Father, that is our hope. Let us rejoice evermore with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Bless this invitation time. We ask, every head bowed, every eye closed as the piano starts playing.